Welcome back to the Charlotte Angel Connection, the Charlotte area podcast linking entrepreneurs, investors, and the broader Charlotte community. As you know, our goal is to interview the individuals who are building, shaping, and influencing entrepreneurship in the Charlotte region so you can stay invested in Charlotte's growth. Today, I think we are very fortunate to have Jami Nasrallah, Director of Miami and Charlotte for Venture for America. Much like the Venture for America fellows we will talk about shortly, Jami has an extraordinarily impressive background. She graduated with an economics degree from Harvard, received her master's in philosophy from University of Cambridge in England, and completed her law degree back at Harvard in 2013. She spent some time in the consulting world with legal firms, and more recently with a startup called Common Bond, which helps lower the cost of student loans to borrowers. In April of 2017, though, Jami joined Venture for America, serving as the point person for both the Miami and Charlotte areas. After our interview today, you'll be more impressed and happy to know that we have her working for us here in Charlotte. So thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, William, for inviting me to do this podcast and saying all those nice things about me. Really happy to be here in Charlotte and, you know, getting to know the Charlotte community a lot better and spending some time with our fellows.
So, as I mentioned earlier, Jami also has the Miami chapter, and that's actually where she's located. And as we record this on September 6th, she's also in the back of her mind worrying about Hurricane Irma and its impact down on the East Coast. So thanks for carving out some time. So we'll go ahead and get started. As our audience members know, we're going to try to break this into two different sections. So first question to kind of get us right out of the gate and up and running here talking about Venture for America. I've been fortunate enough to know about Venture for America for probably the last 2 years, but it's still a new concept, especially for many people here in Charlotte. Do you mind taking a few minutes and talking about Andrew Young and his initial vision with VFA? I've read his book, Smart People Should Build Things. It's a great book, really enjoyed reading it. Highlights a lot of what y'all are doing with VFA, but again, not many people know about it. So can you fill us in on what's going on?
Yes, definitely. And just to clarify, I actually only found out about VFA myself earlier this year, and it was through another nonprofit called Endeavor that also works with entrepreneurs, probably somewhat larger entrepreneurs than VFA does. But I found out about VFA through Endeavor, but I really kind of fell in love with it on my own, in part because I wish it was the organization that I had founded, or at least that had been around when I was graduating from college, and I really think that's what Andrew's vision was. Andrew and I share a few things in common, and I think the most salient one is that we're both lawyers and that we both decided to stop being lawyers.
Fair enough.
So I was a lawyer for a couple of years before I decided to really go back to my passion, which was entrepreneurship. Andrew was a lawyer, I believe, maybe for a little bit under a year before he started a test prep company, or at least grew a test prep company to the point where it was maybe much larger than what one would think of as a typical startup anymore.
Absolutely.
And I think he really saw VFA, and I hate to speak for him, but I think he would agree with me if he were present. He really saw VFA as a way to provide a path to entrepreneurship. Because I think if you graduate from school and you don't know what to do, you're like, well, I could be a lawyer, I go to law school, I could go into finance, so maybe I go into business school, or I do recruiting with the banks, I want to be a consultant, so I look at the BCGs and the McKinseys of the world. But if what you want to do is start a company, that's really hard, and it can seem really daunting. And I think what Andrew set out to do was provide, you know, not a step-by-step guide, but at the very least, kind of like a community of like-minded individuals and a fellowship that would give you the initial path to get there.
Okay. So let's talk about the fellowship for a few minutes. So VFA, people that are in the VFA program are called fellows.
Yeah.
So who's a typical fellow, and how do you recruit them?
Great question. So our typical fellows are recent college graduates right out of college and sometimes up to 2 years out of college.
Okay.
And basically, we're doing two things at the same time. On the one hand, we have a team based in New York City that is scouring the country, literally visiting campuses all over the United States, looking for the next crop of fellows. and we put them through a pretty selective process for entry into the fellowship. And then at the same time, we're building relationships with the startups that is where the fellows are eventually going to end up working with. And I think on the sort of talent and selection side, really it's what we're looking for is future entrepreneurs. I mean, obviously there's, you know, we do Skype interviews, we have some work product that we look at, there's an essay, everything culminates in something we call a selection day where we fly our fellows to one of 8 cities throughout the U.S. and put them through a number of challenges and invite leaders and members of the entrepreneurial community in that city to help us select the next fellows, but the next crop of fellows. But I wouldn't say that there's like a clear picture of what a fellow looks like. I think what we're really looking for is kids that are really serious about being entrepreneurs and have a lot to give back to, you know, the startup community.
And top of the class at top schools as well.
A lot of them are. A lot of them are coming from top schools, and some of them are coming from really good schools that you might never have heard of. So, for example, in Charlotte, we have some from Davidson, we have from Duke, we have from Emory, New York University, Vassar. There's really a big range of schools that we recruit from because we really do believe that we can find really good talent anywhere. That said, it's a pretty selective fellowship, so probably, you know, the kids that we're getting have jumped through a number of hoops to get to the Venture for America Fellowship. A lot of them, I was just actually reading applications because our first round of applications closed a few weeks ago, and I was incredibly impressed by the kinds of things that they've been doing, like before they even get entry into the fellowship.
Absolutely. To kind of stick on the initial aspect of it, the fellows themselves. So they've gone through most of the times a top tier program, whether it's Brown, Emory, Duke, Davidson, all really good schools. They've come to the end of their terms, and they're not sure where they want to go, but entrepreneurship is a path they're looking to explore, or are these gung-ho kind of, I want to start my own business, and I want to figure out how to do it, or is it some combination of both?
I think there's a combination of both. We definitely get some fellows who early on, it's clear to us and definitely clear to them that what they want to do is be entrepreneurs themselves.
Yep.
And I think Venture for America does a lot of things to facilitate that. So a lot of our fellows have what we call like side hustles or side projects. We have a lot of different sort of programming and things like that to help make sure that if they do have a side company, it's something that they can work on while they're doing their fellowship. And then we have other fellows that are interested in entrepreneurship more broadly speaking, but might well rise to, you know, be a leader within the startup that they are originally matched with. So don't necessarily start their own company, but definitely want to live in that entrepreneurship ecosystem.
Okay. So, in the fellowship path that they take, how long is it?
It's a 2-year fellowship.
Okay. So they find a startup in, how many cities is VFA in now?
We're in 18 cities.
So they found a startup in 18 cities, or y'all help match them with a startup in one of 18 cities?
Yeah, so we curate the list. So basically, we're doing those two things at the same time. So on the one hand, we're recruiting the fellows. There's one team that's focusing on that. And then we have another team that is focusing on building those relationships with startups all over the U.S., and you know that process can take a while. We're talking to entrepreneurs, we're talking to startup leaders, and we're trying to get them excited about VFA. It's kind of strange because it actually doesn't feel like selling anything to them at all. We're just telling them about the program, and a lot of the entrepreneurs that I talk to are like, wow, this actually exists. Like, why wouldn't I want this talent pipeline?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't have to like fly to Princeton and interview someone. You're just going to put them on a portal online and I can take a look at their CV.
Yeah.
So yeah, we look at the startup, we build the relationships. There are a number of parameters that we put around the kinds of companies that we work with. We just want to make sure that our fellows have the right experience so that they have mentorship, they're exposed to leaders in the organization. You know, we want to make sure that they're not, even though in many ways they're an employee like any other, we want to make sure that the experience is grooming them to be future entrepreneurs because that's why they come to the Venture for America Fellowship. But once they get entry into the fellowship, we have an online match portal where they see all the companies that we've been building relationships with. And do you remember the days of Facebook when you could poke people?
That sounds somewhat familiar.
It's not quite like that, but basically companies and fellows can start pitching one another.
Okay.
So if a fellow finds a company that he or she's really interested in, they can send them a pitch, the company can look at their CV, they can arrange interviews. Venture for America puts together job fairs all over the country that makes it easier for fellows to interview with a number of different companies on the same day. And then at the end of that process, which is usually about early summer, most of the fellows have been matched with a company.
Okay. So we'll go back. All really smart kids.
all passionate and almost certainly have something to offer a large consulting firm like McKinsey, but also have something that they could unquestionably offer young startups as well, and the fact that they have drive, passion, networks, et cetera, et cetera. How much do they get paid as a BFA fellow, and how does that lure them away from taking the job at McKinsey?
That's a good question. I'm going to quibble a little bit with the question itself because I firmly believe that we're not recruiting fellows for the money.
Yeah.
If what they wanted to do is make money, they wouldn't choose BFA.
I know.
You know, maybe they're in it, maybe they're in it for the long game, and they want to be, you know, long-term entrepreneurs and are super committed. But even so, I think if you spoke to any successful entrepreneur, they would tell you that they're not in it for the money because it's probably the hardest way to make money that you could choose. We do have a salary floor, so it's $38,000 plus benefits. But beyond that, it's probably a little bit lower. I mean, it is lower than what these fellows would be making at a big consulting firm or at a bank. But I think they're just in it for different reasons. So it doesn't come down to where am I going to make the most money.
Okay. Fair enough. No, I get that. So, and I think the model's great. So then if it's not about the money, and I agree with you 100% that it's not, what do they get out of the program that isn't direct compensation but adds to their experience, it adds to their resume, it adds to their skill sets and everything else that they can, you know, compound themselves off of for the rest of their careers? So what else are they getting if it's not the money? Because they get a lot.
I think first and foremost, they become part of a community of like-minded individuals. So everybody else who is part of this fellowship is in it for similar reasons or has like similar aspirations. And, you know, some people go to business school because they want to have a co-founder and they want to eventually start a business. I think in some ways the VFA fellowship does that. We have a lot of stories of VFA fellows finding their co-founders within the program. And VFA also provides, on the one hand, training and two, sort of ongoing programming and resources to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to facilitate the path towards entrepreneurship. So every summer we put together a 5-week training camp in Brown University, and we do it in partnership with companies like McKinsey and IDEO and the Flatiron School to make sure that these fellows are sort of ready to hit the ground running. So from really basic things sort of in terms of like how to be a professional, how to answer emails, how to behave in the office, to sort of bigger issues like how to solve different kinds of business challenges or, you know, how to communicate clearly and sort of softer skills that you don't always get, or, I mean, at least in my case, I feel like I didn't get at all when I was in school. I wish somebody had put me through a training camp. And then once they hit the ground running and they're in their cities, we also continue to provide programming. So we do, there's what we call a virtual side project-a-thon, so sort of a hackathon of sorts. For fellows who end up founding their own companies, we have a seed fund that provides co-investments. We do an annual Redux, which is sort of like an alumni reunion where some of the fellows go back to Brown University for a couple of days in the summer, and there's some light programming around that. We do weekends where, you know, the team from New York City flies to the cities, and we kind of have discussions and roundtable discussions on how to improve the program and how to make sure that everything is going okay and that we're providing to them what they need in order to be successful. And then we do a lot of partnerships locally. So I don't like to talk about the cities as if they were all the same, because I really think it's different depending on the city. So in Charlotte, you know, we have some fellows who are running a chapter of Women Rising, and they've done a lot of things with Girls Who Code and, like, basically figuring out ways to get women to the tech community.
Yeah.
In Miami, we have a fellow who works at a coding boot camp, and she's also organized sort of modules on how to get everybody to learn how to code. And we have other, you know, other kinds of initiatives that the fellows take on. A lot of them do like nonprofit and volunteer work, and a lot of that is somewhere, not always, but is often facilitated by VFA's connections and the fact that we're able to have these really strong relationships in every community. So I think part of the selling point of being part of VFA is that you get access to that. So you're not just flying into Charlotte and kind of figuring it out on your own, but you're kind of coming to an established program where there are other people that are similar to you and where we have a local advisory board and we have local mentors that VFA can connect you to.
So how many people, so you just started a new class.
Yep.
So how many people were in that class?
So we just held our welcome happy hour last night for the new class of Charlotte Fellows. We had 8 new fellows join us in Charlotte this year.
So 8 new fellows in Charlotte, and how many fellows across the country?
So we have 182 fellows. It's our largest cohort yet.
Okay. So then 180 fellows went up to Providence, Rhode Island for 5 weeks
That's
for
right.
a boot camp class. and they learn everything about how to be a professional all the way through how to, or I guess some nuances of even being within a startup. Is that right?
Yeah, we do like product challenges. I was there for a week and a half of those 5 weeks.
Okay.
And I was a judge in a product challenge competition.
Okay.
Where the fellows were basically, they were assigned to teams and they were given one particular challenge that they had to solve, and they spent, I think, a few days or maybe a week noodling over it, and then they presented their findings and their suggestions to a panel of judges, okay, of which I was one.
So 180 people formed into a bunch of different teams.
Yep.
They all had different ideas they presented, and there was theoretically a winner, I assume?
Yep. Okay. There were different categories, and there were different winners within the categories. I think the emphasis is less on competition and more on, like, working in a team and, like, coming up with innovative solutions, things like that.
Awesome. So they're in the program for 2 years, and they're within a startup here in Charlotte or in Detroit or Miami or wherever else they end up being. What's the life like of a fellow for the 2 years that they're in the program? Both, and you know, we did an interview with Nikki and Natalie a couple months ago where they kind of talked a little bit about it. But what's the life like within the company? And then also, what's the life like, what kind of support or what kind of tools or resources do they continue to have for BFA corporate, I guess I'll call it corporate, up in New York?
So I think I'll answer your first question first, which I think was a little bit around what the life of a typical fellow is like. I think it really depends on the city and it depends on the fellow, but a lot of our fellows work very much. I really firmly believe that starting your career at a startup is one of the most challenging things you can do. I mean, I think joining a startup at any point is challenging, but joining one right after college is particularly hard, and I think our fellows are really impressive for being able to do that. So most of them are working really hard, and they're learning a lot. It's the first time that they've been in the workforce. So I think a typical day for them is working and then doing some kind of community involvement. A lot of them, for example, are organizing meetups, they're attending other meetups, a lot of them are doing marketing related or business development things related to their startup, so they're organizing things on behalf of those organizations. A lot of them have side projects and side companies that they're working on the side. Some of them have multiple ones. I'm always kind of talking to a fellow is always like a very sort of edifying experience, because I'm kind of always shocked but very impressed by what they're up to and everything that they're doing. And in terms of the resources that they get from New York, New York has a national mentorship network, so it helps match fellows with mentors depending on like different kinds of parameters that the fellows are looking for. And then a lot of the resources that I mentioned earlier on, like the virtual side project-a-thon, the seed fund for fellow-founded companies, all of those things are run nationally from our headquarters in New York. And to some extent, I mean, some of the other cities, like Detroit, for example, has been very active in some of these programs, but they're spearheaded by headquarters.
So if these kids are coming in and they're being very heavy within the community, you know, like Charlotte or Miami or wherever they end up, but they've got a network of 180 other recent college graduates in other cities, they've essentially got a network to tap into for their own startup that they're working in as they tackle challenges and problems and whatnot. And then they've also got a network to tie into for the rest of their lives as far as, you know, their first startup or their next career path or whatever they end up. You've essentially created a very vibrant network for current purposes as well as, you know, for, you know, when they're 30, 40, 50 years old.
That's right. And, you know, we survey our fellows on a pretty regular basis, and we try to keep, we have strong relationships with our alums. And I think one of the comments that has most resonated with me right now, recently, that I've heard is, I think some of the fellows said that their relationship or commitment to BFA or loyalty, if you will, is stronger than it is to their alma mater, which I think is huge.
Yeah.
Because I really do think like college is a defining experience, and you always think of yourself as like the Princetonian or wherever you went, you know, to school, or you identify yourself with a sports team. And to say that the VFA network is as strong as that or stronger, I think to me is like amazing. It's probably one of the greatest testaments to how we can foster community.
How's that holding up? So VFA is 6 years old now, give or take?
We started in 2012, so we're
okay,
5 years
old. 5 years old. How does that hold up after 5 years? Do you see the bonds still exist, or companies being founded where a founder is hiring somebody they met with in the VFA program? Is it all working the way that it's drawn up to work?
Yep. So we, a lot of our fellow founded companies then go back and hire fellows.
Yep.
So a really good example is Castle, which is a tenant management application. And they've hired 5 people full-time, including 3 of which were 2016 fellows.
Okay.
And we also have a company called Banza, which is like a chickpea pasta. They recently won an award, and they've raised financing.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're really good if you like chickpeas and pasta.
Yeah.
Or even if you like pasta that doesn't taste like regular pasta.
Yeah, fair enough.
They're very good. But yeah, we have companies like that, and I think that's a really good, or maybe that's like the best evidence that I can think of in terms of like fellows giving back to fellows. And it kind of brings our cycle full circle too, because VFA exists first and foremost to provide that path to entrepreneurship to the fellows. But I think the secondary beneficiaries, and in some cases even like the primary beneficiaries, if those are the cities and sort of like the broader community, because these fellows then create companies that start jobs and that, you know, promote job growth in the cities that they're in. And I think to have fellows that are then going off and hiring other fellows, it's kind of like a really good message that, like, hey, we believe in this program. This is a program that allowed us to become entrepreneurs. And when we start our companies, we have enough faith in the program that we're going to go back and hire some of them to help keep the program sustainable.
So the goal is 2 years within the company and then either stay on the company in a full-time role or, I guess, back to grad school or hopefully eventually start their own gig.
I think at least the part about staying in the company or starting their own company sort of hit it right on the mark.
Yeah.
You know, grad school, some of our fellows ended wanting to do that.
Yeah.
I think there are sort of strong cultural headwinds sometimes that push young people to go to grad school.
It seems that way.
I mean, you're talking to somebody who went to law school and got a master's degree, so
yeah, I noticed.
I'm familiar with that. But I actually really, I think one of the things that impresses me most about VFA is that our fellows put their money where their mouths are. Like, they want to be entrepreneurs and they want to work at startups, and I don't think that they see VFA as a feeding ground for or a training school for grad school. Some of them wind up going there for, you know, different kinds of reasons, and many times reasons that make a lot of sense for their particular case. But I really think VFA is more about learning how to be an entrepreneur, whether that means becoming a leader within the startup that they're originally placed in, joining a different startup down the line, or starting their own company.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier, and I want to focus on the fellow aspect of it for the first part, and then we're going to switch over. We're going to focus on the company and the city aspect in the second part. But you mentioned something earlier I thought was interesting. Again, Harvard undergrad, master's from Cambridge, and law degree from Harvard. And you said you wish VFA existed when you finished up undergrad.
Yeah.
talk a little bit about why you would have liked for that to have been, because you've now seen it. You've seen the other side. So you've been out of Harvard, you know, you finished up in 2005.
Yes.
So you finished up in 2000. So you've been out for a couple years. And you've also been within VFA for the last 5 or 6 months. So why would it have been the thing that you would have pursued?
So I love this question because it forces me to reflect. And I think that's a good thing. I think people need to reflect on their career choices and sort of everything that they do in life. But when I was graduating from Harvard, it was 2005. I had done economics, but also like a citation in French. So I knew a lot about French literature and could write essays in French.
That's impressive.
So I was one of those kids that, like, I could have also studied literature, I could have also studied history. Like, I just had a lot of different interests, and I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But I had come from a family of entrepreneurs. My dad started his own company that now employs about 300 people. And so I had that example to follow, but I don't think I really had, like, a language around it or, like, a very crystallized notion that that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And this was also the time when Facebook had just started. I think in 2004, it was still only open to Harvard or maybe some of the Ivies. Like, it hadn't become the kind of phenomenon that it is now.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. You were there then.
Yeah, so I had this kind of, like, thing in the back of my mind. Like, there are these, like, weird companies that are starting online. Email had really only become a thing, like, maybe 7 years ago that people use every day. So, like, put yourself in that position where, like, things that we take for granted now were still kind of, like, pretty new. And the startups were, like, Amazon and Google that are no longer startups.
Yeah.
Or even Facebook. All of my friends were going out and doing banking, and I really knew that I didn't want to do that. So I was like, okay, I'll do the next best thing, which is like a small consulting firm, because it's tiny, I feel like I'll have more of an impact, I'll learn more, and then I'll figure out what I want to do.
Yep.
Short of like maybe going out to Silicon Valley and you know, living in, like, Mark Zuckerberg's apartment, which maybe I could have somehow finagled because I was, nobody really cared about Facebook at the time.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what else I could do. So I think that that kind of, like, path didn't exist, or at least it didn't exist in a clear enough way that I felt like I knew what was in store for me if I wanted to be an entrepreneur myself. So that's what I mean when I say that I wish that VFA had been around.
Okay.
And then came the financial crisis, and a lot of people lost their jobs, and I was like, hey, maybe this entrepreneurship thing is not a bad idea. And that's how I joined Endeavor, and that's sort of where it became more actionable in terms of, like, I want to join an organization that is dedicated to this.
Absolutely. So we'll tee it up for the next one. We're kind of running up on our time here. But the goal is, I think, the kids come in, and I call them kids because I'm older now, but I think I can call people kids. The recent college graduates come in, they make an impact within the company that they're with for 2 years. But the goal then is for them to stay within that community and either help grow that startup that they're with or build their own startup within that community. So you're in 18 cities now. The goal is to essentially create a startup ecosystem on a smaller scale to Silicon Valley within those 18 cities. Is that fair?
Yes, I think that's a fair assessment. You know, we're not trying to necessarily replicate Silicon Valley everywhere. I think the idea is more around that there is an entrepreneurship ecosystem, or there are all these sort of entrepreneurial pockets all over the U.S., and a lot of them just need resources like talent, and they're less able to get it than the Silicon Valleys or the Silicon Alleys or the Austins or Bostons of the country. So yes, I mean, I think that's a fair assessment, although I'm sure Silicon Valley has a lot of issues that we probably don't want to perpetuate.
Oh yeah, a lot of people say exactly right. We don't want to replicate Silicon Valley, right?
So I like to say more that we're trying to promote entrepreneurship in cities throughout the U.S., not necessarily creating like little Silicon Valleys all over.
But it's a great.
But as a shorthand, it's a great way to say it.
But you're bringing talent in the cities that otherwise wouldn't have got it.
Exactly.
I mean, these 18 recent college graduates in Charlotte, two of them I think originally from here.
I mean, some of them went to Davidson. I think Alfred is from around here.
Yeah.
Most of them are not from here.
So we brought 17 recent graduates that wouldn't have been here otherwise to Charlotte, smart, entrepreneur-minded, and that want to make a difference now in our community.
Yep.
So that's cool. Well, that's a great way to wrap up. So again, thanks for the first session. Second session, I want to pivot over and I want to talk about the benefits to the companies.
Yeah.
And then I also want to talk about the benefit to the community and the natural question from there, which is what does the community need to do to support VFA? Because I think that's a huge, if we're getting as much as I think we're getting out of it, then what do we have to do as a community, as a city, as companies to support that effort as well? So it's been a great session to learn more about the fellows, but now let's pivot next session to companies and community.
William Bissett is an investment advisor representative with Seacrest Blakey & Associates, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Seacrest Blakey & Associates. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Seacrest Blakey & Associates also does not offer legal or tax advice. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with the appropriate professional regarding your individual circumstance. Investments herein described may be speculative and may involve a substantial risk of loss. Interest may be offered only to persons who qualify as accredited investors under the Securities Act and a qualified purchaser as defined in Section 2A, 51A under the Company Act or an eligible employee of the management company. There generally is no public market for the interest. Prospective investors should particularly note that many factors affect performance, including changes in market conditions and interest rates, and other economic, political, or financial developments. Past performance is not and should not be construed as indicative of future results.